Glad to see each one of you today. Let me invite you to stand and take your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious Father, what a joy and thrill is ours to assemble for worship. Now, Father, we would ask that you would take our minds away from the press of the world and we would focus on our worship service today. Lord, we trust that what we say and do would be acceptable in your sight and a sweet-smelling fragrance. We ask that we would be lifted into your presence and that we would be like Jesus. Again, I'm asking that you'd be with me this morning as I bring the message in this series, The Battle for the Mind, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Battle for the Mind, number 3. I subtitled it, Don't Worry, Be Happy. We've been talking the last couple of Sabbaths about the battle for the mind. Are you enjoying this series? I hope so, because I'm enjoying it. I'm learning. I'm growing in my relationship with the Lord as I study God's Word. We've already learned the importance of guarding our minds, guarding our thoughts, this one doorway. We saw from the first sermon, we saw from Ephesians 6, there's a battle going on. It's not a physical battle, but it's a spiritual battle, and the battle takes place right here. It's a battle for your allegiance. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to follow the devil, or are you going to follow Jesus? Ellen White says in Ministry of Healing, page 128, it's not a mimic battle in which we are engaged. We are waging a warfare upon which hang eternal results. We have unseen enemies to meet. Evil angels are striving for the dominion of every human being. Something like, our elections. They're, Republicans want you to come and join with them, and the Democrats want you to come and join with them, and you've got to make a decision. You choose. And basically, God wants you, and the devil wants you, but the choice has been left up to you. Who are you going to follow? If you cast your lot with God, you're promised eternal life. If you cast your lot with the devil, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. I want to emphasize again this morning that our mind is a priceless gift. Now, God could have made us robots. He could have made us like drones where we went around with no will of our own, and we would have taken care of His creation, but we would not have known the difference. But God gave us this precious gift that we could make choices, that we could choose, we could use our mind. We are creatures of choice. We have the freedom to choose. What a wonderful gift. I have a computer at home, and I suppose a good number of you have computers, or at least you are acquainted with them. Computers are a wonderful invention. They tell me that they have the capabilities to make a home computer. Now, that's not something that's as large as a building, something that you can take into your home. It has the ability to write the name of every man, woman, and child in America, put their address and telephone number in it, and all that you have to do, and your social security number or whatever, all that you do is have to push in that social security number right in your name, and immediately bring up all the Al Matchams and their addresses, just almost instantaneously. It's marvelous what these computers can do. But I've never saw a computer yet that can reason like the human mind. The Bible says that we are fearful and wonderfully made or precisely made, and the human mind is an incredible organ. We should not take it, though, for granted. I've never seen a robot that could love. You know, they're making computers now that can drive your car, can fly an airplane. You know, I just bought a new car. One of the options that I could have had on this automobile, I don't have it, by the way, is that as I drive down the highway and I set the cruise control, if I were to come up on the back of another automobile or a truck, do you know it would utterly shut the system down, allow the car to go back 300, 375 feet, 400 feet, whatever you want to set it, and when it gets back to that distance again, then it will start to drive it along the highway again. It's a marvelous thing, but folks, the computer can't love. God made us unique. Let us not take for granted the gifts that God has bestowed upon us. I want to begin this morning by enhancing our scripture text. The scripture text says, take no thought of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't be like the Gentiles where you're worried about, what I'm going to wear today, what I'm going to eat today. Or he says, seek God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Now, I want to add to that text this morning a beautiful promise from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Now, it's a promise that God is going to do something for us if we keep our focus on him. He's going to give us perfect peace. I will keep him in perfect peace. But notice, we have to do something. Our mind must be focused on him to have this wonderful experience of perfect peace. Let's talk about peace for a few moments this morning. I suppose everybody in the world is aware of this wonderful experience, and everybody wants peace. In fact, there's hardly a newscast that you would listen to or a magazine that you would open up without someone in the political world is talking about peace. We want peace in Afghanistan. We want peace in the Middle East. We want peace in our own country. But there are others who try to find peace from fame and fortune. Some people look to have peace from materialism and entertainment. You know, some individuals even think that they could divorce their spouse and hitch up with someone else and they're going to have peace. They think that if they would change the relationship that they could have peace. But I want to make it clear this morning, from experience, folks, True peace and happiness comes from having a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that involves making right choices. It involves using your mind. You see, there is a war that's going on. And this war is over you and me, who we are going to choose. And this warfare is brought up, we are in the midst of it. And the enemy would have us use our minds that we would forget about the personal relationship with God. And he has us focus on things that are happening inside of us. And we think that we can have this peace by seeking things, materialism, entertainment. But we know that these things won't bring peace. They only bring us temporal pleasures. And temporal pleasures only last for a very short time. Usually when you buy that new automobile, you buy that new home, in a couple of years already you are ready to give it back, to get rid of it. You want something else. People think that if they could buy a yacht or live in a mansion by the sea, that they would have peace. They think that the tranquil setting, watching the sun come up and go down across the ocean, would give them peace. Now, folks, from experience, I've lived on the ocean. But I want to tell you, there's some stormy times out there on the sea. There are mornings, there are evenings that we wish that we were so far from the coast, especially when a hurricane is coming. Having temporal things really don't bring you peace. It's a wonderful experience for some time. One of the most pleasurable experiences that Don and I have experienced was when we lived in North Carolina. In Maggie Valley, we lived on the top of a mountain. It was actually, to drive up there was just over a mile to get up. But we were high enough up on the top of the hill. In fact, the house was situated where if I would go out on the deck on one side, we were looking down the mountain. If we go out on the deck on the other side, we're looking down the other side of the mountain. It was a wraparound deck, and if we go out at the front, we could look down on Ghost Town. It's an entertainment park in Maggie Valley. Now, we were up high enough. It would be beautiful sunsets. It would be beautiful when the sun would come up in the morning. We had windows. They went from the ceiling all the way to the floor, maybe 6 inches off the floor. We didn't have any drapes in this house. Windows were wide open, and in the morning the sun would just stream in so early. It was a wonderful experience. And you could just turn over in your bed, and I could look all the way from my lying on my bed all the way to Asheville, North Carolina. I could see the smog, coming from Canton, from the paper mill. Long ways, 30 miles away. There were times at night when we would come home, it would be raining down in the valley, it would be cloudy, it would be just horrible. But we'd work our way up that mountain. When we get it to just about to the top, the moon would be shining brightly. And down in the valley, you could see the clouds. It was raining down there. What a wonderful experience that was, but it was short-lived. Now, folks, we lived in that house. It wasn't ours. There were some rich people who had this home, and they wanted someone to look out to. And we were foolish enough to move there. But what an experience. We'll never forget it. I can remember one morning we were up. We had the doors open on one side of the deck. Big double doors were open. The wind was blowing through the house. We didn't have air conditioning up there. And this cloud, you know, came, went right through the living room, out the other side. That was a wonderful experience. But folks, I want to tell you, even while we lived in that home, there were trials and things that came our way that robbed us of peace at times. Folks living in a beautiful home or living on a yacht, these are temporal pleasures. Now others try gambling and alcohol and drugs and illicit living. They look for a lifestyle that's going to give them peace. But the Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season. It might give you a little pleasure, but it's not going to be lasting peace. You've got to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus to have personal peace. Amen? Church, pleasure is only temporary. Peace with God is everlasting. The peace gives us a hope of something better than what this world has to offer. Let's take note of our promise in Isaiah 26:3 again, that God will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is focused on Him. The King James Version says stayed on Him, or it means focused on Him. Now think about this. There is a difference between having perfect peace, God's peace, and just experiencing peace. You see, as a little boy growing up, I remember that I made a decision that I was going to follow Jesus. And it is unfortunate that I didn't always live up to the good things that I knew. And there are times even today where I have been confused, I have been worried, I have been anxious about the future. And I'm sure that each one of you have had that experience also. But I was thinking about, you know, as a young boy growing up, even during these times, I lost that wonderful peace. Why? Because God would allow me to use my mind and choose to do something that was out of harmony with His will for me. When I accepted Jesus Christ, when I was born again, it gave me this hope of salvation. It gave me a hope of heaven. And I look forward, we all look forward to the second coming of Jesus. You see, we are focusing our mind on Him. And it is during these times we can have perfect peace. But here's the problem. We live in a world that is sick with sin, and try as we might, we get caught up at times in the woes of this old world, and these woes rob us from God's peace. But God says, if we keep our minds stayed on Him, He will give us perfect peace. You see, God's offer is perfect peace. It is different from the peace we experience, from the satisfaction gained from our own good works or materialism or from wealth. God is telling us in Isaiah 26:3 how to get perfect peace. And God says, I'll give you this peace on one condition, if you'll keep your mind focused on Me. And what does that mean? Keep my mind focused on Him. Does it mean 24/7? No, I believe that God expects us. There's a time that we would read our scripture, and there's a time that I got to get up and I work or I'm doing some other activity. But even during these other activities, when temptation comes to do that which is wrong, because I've spent time in the Word, I will say no. It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When trials and tribulations come at work or even during our time of pleasure, when these trials and tribulations come, immediately you can refocus your life on God and you can have that peace. There's a beautiful promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no trial or no temptation that will come your way, but God will make a way of escape. You see, he knows the devil. He's going to bombard us with things. He's going to bombard us with opportunities. He's going to bombard us with stuff that will take our focus away from God. But we must keep our focus on him. In fact, Ellen White says it would be well that we would spend an hour each day in studying, reading our Bibles, meditating upon his word. Now, what does it mean to meditate? I want us to do a little experiment together. Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. You have it? How about somebody reading that verse? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13.
Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. He had made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Okay. Now I want to meditate on that verse this morning. I want you, let me read the verse again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Let's just close our eyes and let's meditate on that word or on that text. Now, when you are meditating, I want you to use all your senses. I want you to listen. I want you to hear what's happening. I want you to smell. If you can taste it, then taste it. I want you to use all your senses as you meditate up on that text of Scripture. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, let's focus in on the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? What is the curse of the law? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. To be redeemed means that I have been bought back. I have been set free. Now, what was it I've been set free from? What is the curse of the law?
Death.
The wages of sin is death. Well, that's ultimately death is going to come in the end, isn't it? But could it be misery and sickness, mental torment, depression and worry, and in the end, it's death. It's the miserable things that happen to us in this life. And Christ has redeemed us, or he has given us a way of escape from these miserable things. Now, I can dwell on these miserable things, and it can be most awful. Folks, in my imagination, I can see what arthritis and cancer and diabetes and, you know, some of these awful things do to us. In my imagination, I can see because of wrong choices that have been made and people have been imprisoned. But then my focus moves away from that. My focus is on Christ. He has redeemed me from the curse of the law, from this misery. And then my heart goes out in gratitude and thanksgiving. So why should our hearts be filled with gratitude and thanks? Because Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We can have perfect peace, even in troublesome times. This is good stuff. I have found out in my own life, from my own experience, there are times that I've been worried and confused and overly concerned and anxious about the future. Do you know what happens in times like these? You see, I've taken my focus, I've taken my mind off Christ, and I've started to look at the circumstances that are around me. And I dwell on these circumstances, these problems, and I think, how am I going to overcome these challenges? How am I going to overcome these obstacles? How am I going to overcome all this that's coming against me? Do you know what's happening? I'm dwelling on these things instead of dwelling on Christ. And I want you to tell you something, folks. Satan is a master deceiver. And he'll be sure to magnify even little things in our life. They're going to look like big obstacles, and they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And do you know what's going to happen? Soon, you see, we're feeling doubt and unbelief, and our emotions, we are filled with fear, and our faith is being eroded away. Our peace is taken from us. You see, doubt is just the opposite of faith. It is just this misery is just the opposite of peace. So when I dwell on these things, what I've done is put a wall between me and my Creator. I have stopped now the flow of God's power. Oh, Father, have mercy. I have stopped the flow of God's peace from coming into my life. Here's what I want you to get from the sermon today. If you are worried, if you are fearful, if you are doubtful, if you are filled, you know, with anxiety, those are choices that you have made. You see, we are creatures of choice. Don't let anyone tell you differently. You made a wrong choice. Follow me now. And I want you to know it is the devil that is behind this. But you're the one who chose to be fearful. You are the one who chose to worry. And you are the one who chose to be full of fear. Do you know what you're saying? You are saying to God, God, I know you created the old world. I know that nothing is too hard for you. God, I know you spoke the world into existence. But God, in this particular situation, I am not sure you have enough power. I am not sure that you have the ability. I am not sure that you are in control. And that is right. He is not in control in your life because you chose now to focus on another master. Folks, none of us would say that to God, you know, in our right mind. But what we're doing, we're choosing to have an attitude that would stand with the devil. Do you know what worry is? Worry is meditating upon what the devil says. It's playing his thoughts over and over in our mind, and Satan knows the power of the mind. If he can tie my mind up for a day, up for a week, up for a month, for a year, every day that he does this, I am not being all that God wants me to be, and I am robbed of that peace that passes all understanding. During times like these, we need to meditate up on God's Word. And I want to tell you, folks, it is a choice. You've got to choose not to worry. You must choose to listen to God. I must keep my mind stayed on Him. I'm going to experience His perfect peace. This is good stuff, isn't it? Some of you might say, well, Pastor Al, you don't understand. I go through things in my life that you know nothing about. And I'm sure that that's true. But let me share something with you. There is a difference between being worried and being concerned. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Don't worry about anything, pray about everything, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and mind." I have a challenge for you. The next time you are tempted to worry, say, "I choose not to worry. I may be concerned, but I am praying about this situation." Get together with your husband. Get together with your kids. Form a circle. Kneel together. Stand together. Whatever it is. Talk about that concern, but then send up that prayer heavenward, and then thank God that the answer is on His way. And believe it. Scripture says in Isaiah 65:24, the clear word says, "Before you call, I will answer. While you are still speaking, I am responding." And every time the devil brings a negative thought that would cause you to worry, folks, we're in this warfare, remember? It's a battle for your mind. If it would be possible, the devil would keep these temptations, he'd keep these worries coming. He wants you to distrust God, and he wants you to put your focus on Him. But every time these negative thoughts come, begin to praise God. And do you know what will happen? You will quit worrying because you change your focus. Let's look at a couple of texts in closing this morning. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Well, let me start with verse 15. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." Verse 16 says, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God." Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20 basically say the same thing. When trials and tribulations, when things happen, sing songs. You know, when we meet trials and tribulations, Don and I usually turn and we sing, this is our favorite. "He's able, He's able, I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through." You sing that two or three times and you will drive the devil away. Let's sing it together. "He's able, He's able, I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through." Folks, if that's your response, you're going to have God's perfect peace. Keep your mind stayed at Him. Jesus says, "Which of you by worrying can add one inch to a stature?" None of us can do this. All the stuff that we worry about, it doesn't change a thing. Jesus went on to say, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear." Instead of worrying, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things," the good things that you think the world has to offer, "all these things will be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means that you are to keep your mind stayed on Christ. Keep your mind focused on Him. Don't worry. Be happy. Amen.